Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
I'm Mick Dagger, and across from me sits the General. What up, G?
Oh, just another day in paradise. Eastern Kakalaki.
Tell you, we've got a lot in store for you on the show today. Later in the program, we're going to be diving into some insanity we've come across and stuff that just really gets us laughing when we have a crappy day that helps us get through it. We're going to be diving into this. So just that craziness of life, man, there's outlets for it, and we're going to expose those to you as well. Last week, I grilled Dustin on his background and the fruition and creation of Beer Army, and yeah, this week, he's going to lay into me with a bunch of questions.
It was bullshit, man. It was all one-sided. I'm coming after you, man.
I mean, yeah, it was one-sided. I just let you talk. You're Gabby.
I am. I'm worse than a chick, man.
Wow. Well, it happens, man. It happens. But I'll tell you, a great conversation and a great time usually always starts with a beer for us. And today, it's no different. We've got a delicious beer Dustin brought in.
Yeah, no, well, because I know that since I'm planning on turning the tables on your ass today,
yeah.
And we're going to dive into your mind. And hear about your background and your history and, you know, pull out a couple of skeletons, hopefully, out of your closet.
Yeah, probably more than a few.
Foot locker or whatever you got over there. No, knowing that you're from that big square state called Colorado.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Longmont and all that. And since I was at Left Hand Brewing Company like 7-8 months ago.
So jealous.
And I was like, oh, man, we've got to feature this beer. It's their milk stout on nitro in a bottle. To me, it is the best freaking milk stout on the market. It's my favorite.
It's delicious.
And the fact that these guys got all Mr. Wizard-like and figured out how to put nitro beer in a bottle without a widget,
yeah.
You know, because if anybody drinks Guinness or, you know, they'll know that there's that widget in the can. It's pretty freaking cool. And of course, when you pour it, you just, you know, flip it up upside down and it's really cool because you just dump it right in there and you get that cascading effect. And,
the first time I did it, I was wondering, it's like, do I really pour it this way?
Yeah.
This doesn't seem right.
Yeah, no, it's because it defies all logic from being taught from your first beer how to decant, you know, you pull that and you're usually going to get about 3/4 of a glass worth of foam. So, but no, I love it. It's, you know, it's velvety and smooth with that lactose in there. It's like, I would definitely serve this with ice cream, you know, for the hardcore beer aficionados. I'm sure some of them had, you know, beer floats. It's like a root beer float, but it's just with regular beer. And you get some of the roastiness in this and just the velvety texture, the body on it. I just love this beer.
I will say this. I used to like Guinness, and then I got into the milk stouts. I got into Left Hands, and Duck Rabbit had a milk stout.
Yeah.
I've always been partial to Left Hands milk stout.
Yeah.
And then when they came out with this nitro milk stout, it just upped the game. And now I can't drink Guinness anymore.
Well, I mean, since you brought up Duck Rabbit, you know, Paul up there with Duck Rabbit 2 years ago, he won the gold medal at the GABF, or actually it was either World Beer Cup or GABF. I can't recall off the top of my head. But I think his is a little roastier than what I like. But it's an awesome beer. You know, definitely want to give a shout out because he's just up the road, you know, an hour away in Farmville, just outside Greenville, North Carolina.
Yep.
So, he's doing great things. And I mean, Left Hand, I think they really do it right. I'd love to see a version of this beer with some cocoa nibs or some more chocolate malt in it, and you know, like a chocolate milk stout. And
now you say cocoa nibs. Are you talking about like that little black licorice nibs?
Yeah, no, like actual, like, no, not
I'm thinking of candy.
No, not like the candy, dude, man. No, like some real, like,
no, I know,
yeah, get all crazy on me. But the cool thing is, then you could have a cow that's like brown, you know, instead of the black and white cow they have on there and be like,
ow, now brown cow,
exactly, you know, because that's the way when I was a kid, I used to think that somebody tricked me into thinking that. You know, I go by a dairy farm. They're like, you know, the brown cows produce chocolate milk. And I'm like, really? You know,
it's you're
like,
gullible. Yeah, logical, makes sense.
Well, of course it does.
Chocolate milk's chocolate in color.
That's right. That's right.
So, chocolate cow.
Nah, so it's just a great, and they do a lot of great beers. This is actually, that was their first one. They came out with their, I think it was a Sawtooth Ale.
Yeah, yeah.
They put that on Nitro too, but.
Left Hand's amazing. I don't know, of everybody I've met, I seem to be the only one that likes that Sawtooth Nitro.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting when you do a vertical comparison with the Nitro version versus a straight up, it definitely, the nitro definitely changes it. I've been trying more IPAs, more of the craft beer scene is getting kind of crazy with nitro, and you know, and it just seems like it changes the profile. Even a really hoppy beer, it just changes it. It makes it almost like a whole nother different
beer. It's totally different. It's really smooth. It pulls out a different palate, feel, and flavor. And it's not sawtooth if you're expecting sawtooth as you normally have it. But I really, really like it. I like how creamy it is.
Yeah.
But it has to be colder.
Yeah.
I know the recommended temperature is 40 to 45.
Yeah.
But it has to be closer to 40.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome beer, and I'm glad we're able to feature, you know, give you a little piece of home.
Thank you, man.
So
that is my hometown. I went to high school just up the road from the brewery there.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh. Left hand's off of Boston Avenue. Well, Boston feeds into Sunset. Sunset goes up the hill. There was a hill on the north side. If you look up, there's a big hill.
Well, that explains
it. You crest
then.
That hill, and there's a high school.
Well, no, because I was making a head call. And on the bathroom wall, it said, "For a good time, call Mike." And I didn't. I was like,
"You're an ass."
No, and now I'm totally makes sense, dude. I get it, man.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, but
hey, you're a jerk.
I know. I try to keep up with you.
Great
man.
Beer, but did you know that when Left Hand started and they got there, they became known and really got on the scene and were known for their beer. They were known for their Left Hand Pale Ale.
Oh yeah.
Which later on was rebranded and is what is now Sawtooth.
Oh, really?
Sawtooth is their flagship beer. However, when they first were brewing it and they marketed it, it was just Left Hand Pale Ale.
Well, I definitely recommend if people make ever get a trip out there to flying to Denver, make the trek, about 30 minutes north or whatever. Definitely check them out. I don't remember the name of the barkeep that was attending bar, but. She allowed us to sign the guest book, and we had a really great time with her and took some interesting photos. I'll have to get those up on the site so people can check it out. But, you know, speaking of the site, speaking of last week's episode, we didn't get really hate mail, but somebody was asking me like, hey, you know, what do you, you know, everybody wants to say social lubricant. Beer is a social lubricant, you know. And somebody was like, they were listening to the podcast, I guess, and they wanted to know, like, I was giving the whole Heath thing, like we're hanging out and those two other people were kind of like started to become friends because remember yeah. we were talking yeah. about the Southern aristocrat and the hippie, and you know, and I wanted to clarify because they're like, you know, they're like, you got no TVs and stuff. I said, well, we have one, but it's there, so everybody focuses and it's on a big screen, so everybody's kind of focused on the same thing, unlike, you know, other, you know, venues or joints where they have like a billion freaking TVs that just obliterate your senses and you're just not able to focus on the whole reason of being there. And I kind of said analog version of Facebook, right? And I wanted to clarify that point because it amazes me that people find it foreign concept that part of being a human being is interacting
with other human beings. Yeah.
And I think the thing that's awesome about beer is that it's an enabler, you know? And I know we crack jokes about, well, yeah, over Flip Cup, dude, you know, it's like, but you know, while we don't advocate getting, you know, totally wasted and stuff like that, I mean, you know, we want to be responsible. We just want you to have a plan when you go out and enjoy yourself. But, you know, it's not, so we're not like prudish saying, oh, you got inebriated or whatever. No, it's not that, but it does. It is an enabler.
It breaks down the technology barrier.
Yeah, I mean, and people open up and, you know, maybe they are a little bit inhibited and sometimes maybe that's a bad thing, you know, if, you do something that you probably regret the next morning or whatever, but it does allow people just to, you know, break it down and interact with each other. And I think that's the thing that's so awesome about the beer world, beer culture, you know, whether again, it's blue collar, white collar, it's really awesome. So I just wanted to, you know, clarify for that person that seemed like they weren't getting it or they had questions about that, you know, that's what it's for. I mean, that's the purpose. That's why I love it, you know? And
well, it is. And it's diving into and bringing your stateside that pub mentality that's not so prevalent.
Yeah.
Well, and, that's what's awesome is you can't walk into a pub and not leave with new friends.
Well, I mean, and, you know, and we'll probably talk about beer history at some point down the road too, you know, but, you know, and they were like, you know, 300-400 years ago. I'm like, dude, beer's been around, man, since like 5,000 BC, man. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe it wasn't called a bar or a pub back then or whatever, but, you know, maybe it was just a mud hut. Maybe it was a, I don't know.
I'm going down to the papyrus shop to get to get some yeast.
But, yeah, no, I mean, that's it's been like that for a long time. And, you know, if you're really a hardcore beer enthusiast and really know something about beer history, there's a lot of people, a lot of the, you know, scholarly intellects that say, beer was the very reason why we started going from, you know, just being nomadic to like herding and farming and start organizing cities and stuff like that. And I mean, some people give credit to math and arithmetic and everything because of beer, you know, and it's pretty crazy. We'll definitely have to probably dive into that at some point.
That'd be cool yeah. to get that. Wow.
But
sweet.
Yeah, I wish I got to come up with something better than social lubricant. I don't know why. I just, for some reason, it sounds like a porno
you're
to me or something.
Just verbally horny, I guess.
I don't know, but I've heard other people use it. I need to come up with a better terminology. Well,
You've got odd terms. Southern aristocrat, well, social lubricant.
Social lubricant.
Yeah.
Oil-free social lubricant.
All I know is we have a lot in store for you here on the Beer Army Gage. Keep those seats. I have to prepare myself. I got to take some time out here.
That's right.
Prepare myself to get grilled by the general.
Sharpening the K-bar over here.
So those of you who are interested in my history, it's about to be fully exposed.
About ready to get real up in this bitch.
Stay tuned.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodend.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodend.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
It's Mick Dagger and the General on Beer Army Engaged.
It's my turn to be in the hot seat. Last week, the General was, so General, have at it.
You ready for this?
I think I am.
What's with the Kevlar, man? Why you got a Kevlar on?
I'm not wearing a Kevlar.
I'm not going to be breaking out.
Are you seeing things again?
No.
Are you popping pills before you came over?
Once again, I'm in the studio with no shoes and socks on.
I do have a little war trophy. I do have an Iraqi helmet that I found in a bombed out OP on the top of a cliff face overlooking a wadi.
Nice.
A bunch of, actually have them as well, a bunch of notebooks that I probably should have had sent to...
Chemical
to be evaluated. No, they're ledgers from this OP. They're all in Arabic. They're all written in Arabic.
Sweet. So no, you know, I think it's really important that you know, since there's two hosts here, you know, we're both co-hosts of the show, and we kind of, you know, you grilled me last week. I think people would really appreciate to find out, you know, who Mick Dagger.
Yeah, I'm an elusive character.
And you know, you need the time, you know, thank you for your service, you know, serving our country twice. Oh, you know, coming back. And I think your story is really, really fascinating. And you know, whereas I have a Marine perspective, you know, being in the Army, a lot of similarities there, and a lot more than you realize. Sometimes you think like, oh my God, it's like a whole nother planet, you know, but it's you have different names, maybe different acronyms, but it's a lot of the same bullshit that you got.
It's the same BS.
Out, you know?
It is. I think there's politics in the Marine Corps, but I think the politics for the most part are just insane in the Army. I was lucky. I was really lucky in different areas in which I worked. So.
Well, I mean, so what was it like? You were like sheep herding in Colorado and just had
I wore snow camouflage.
You know, you heard the call to prayer and you're like, oh, I got to go.
No, my story, I try to keep this as brief as possible and still have it congeal altogether. But.
Well, yeah, you had two pumps basically. You're a retread.
Break in service. I enlisted.
What was the first one?
I enlisted right out of high school. I had a bunch of buddies. They all joined the Marine Corps. Going to join the Marine Corps, so I go to a Marine recruiter, and they wouldn't guarantee a job. I was like
swabbing decks, or
no, that I wanted to be. I wanted to be working radio. I wanted to be a lazy DJ. I had an Army recruiter approach me. Four or five times, and I was like, screw you, right? And then he approached me a sixth time, and I was like, well, show me what you got on radio. I hear you have Radio Free Europe or whatever it's called. So he brings all this information, and I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. I can get a lot of radio experience. So I take that knowledge I gained, and I start looking, and then I check with the Marine recruiter, and they're like, we don't guarantee a job. You'll get told what your job will be after you graduate boot camp. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't want to be retreading freaking deuce and a half tires, whatever. So I went back to the Army recruiter, and I joined the Army. Huh? And my whole goal was to be a lazy DJ in Germany. Yeah. And
which is nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But that's not what happened.
I guarantee you right now there's Marines, since we're kind of like a Marine country, you know, we have a couple of major Marine Corps installations.
This is Marine land.
They're like, oh, what a lazy bitch, you know, whatever. But secretly in heart, they're like, that lucky son of a bitch, man. I would, you know, he had it right. He had it figured out. He had a game plan, you know. He didn't let that Marine recruiter bullshit him and talk him into something, you know.
That's not how it worked out.
So you got the big green weenie after all.
I did. No, I go through the Army's, I go through basic training. I get sent to the engineer land of the Army at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
They never had
a broadcast journalist go through basic training there. They were blown away by it. They called me Private Joker from Full Metal Jacket.
Why would you get sent to Fort Lost in the Woods?
I don't know. All the other broadcasters were sent to Fort Jackson to some easy-ass basic training.
Yeah, you guys would do stuff a little bit differently.
I don't know. It was weird. I have no idea why. But I graduate there. I get to my MOS school, to the Defense Information School. And I had enlisted on the DEP program.
Yeah.
So I had enlisted in September of 92. It wasn't until late August, early September of 93, that I arrive at Denfos, and they're like, your waiver is no longer valid. It's been a year. I'm like, what are you talking about? What waiver? And they were like, well, you had a 108 GT score, and you needed a 110 GT score to get this course. And your waivers, your waiver is no longer valid. I was like, what?
For two points.
Yeah. So they held me from the course. They told me, pick a new MOS or get out of the Army. I said, look, I'm already here. You have me scrubbing floors and doing all this other crap. Why don't you let me study for 2 weeks and retake the ASVAB? If I can raise my GT score, put me in the next class rotation. If not, I'll get the hell out, because I'm not going to play your stupid game.
And for our listeners to understand what the ASVAB, I mean, maybe they can't recall back in high school, a lot of people end up taking it, but they don't even realize it or whatever. But a GT above 100, I mean, we're letting people, well, maybe not right now, but back in the day, you know, like people like ASVAB or GTs of like 30, it's like, oh, 03 infantry, you know what I mean? It's like, that's where it went. So it's really kind of crazy when you got somebody that's got over 100 and then you're going to bust his balls over 2 points.
They did. They told me, I'm not lying, you know, pick a new MOS or get out of the Army.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm here, I'm doing this, let me study for 2 weeks. If I raise it, put me in the next class. If I don't, I'm out. I'm going to get out. So I studied for 2 weeks, studied math, because math's not my strong suit.
No.
So all I did was study math. I retook the ASVAB, and I raised my GT score from a 108 to a 121. And they're like, oh, you're in the next class.
Nice,
so
nice.
I was on like cleanup detail for two months.
I'm surprised the Army, you know, that I would think you would need a waiver because you scored too high. And so you're overqualified, and we need to get you a waiver so you can get in.
That is crazy. But no, So I get through the school, everything's fine. They gave me a hard time at this course because of my GT score. They put me on academic probation at the early part of the course. And I ended up graduating in the top three of my class.
Nice.
And I was on academic probation the whole time.
Nice.
I don't know how that works. But instead of going to Germany, where they send everybody else to like Korea, Germany, and all these other places to work and do radio, they sent me and another guy to Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
You're shitting me.
And we were the only two out of the whole class. We got North Carolina, and they sent me there, and I ended up in a psychological operations unit. I was doing. I get there, and my second week there, I'm out in the field for a month training with special forces, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was nuts. They had me as a private, running around in black BDUs, we're growing a beard and not even on any Army installation, but having civilians drive us around under tarps in the back of their pickup trucks. I mean, it was insane.
And
it
to
was
help
awesome.
Clarify for our listeners, I mean, the whole end game was to be the lazy DJ with flip-flops and a wine shirt, and you're running around with soft, you know?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's crazy, 180.
And it wasn't even where I wanted to be, but I ended up there, and I ended up falling in love with it. Put in for airborne school, graduated airborne school, jumping out of airplanes, and after 2 months after graduating there, the 82nd Airborne Division grabbed me because I was the only airborne qualified broadcaster of my rank as an E3 in the whole Army inventory of broadcasters. So they were like, "Oh, you need to be in the 82nd." So I get to the 82nd, and I'm part of a 5-man team that runs along with the grunts and the infantry and the guys that got 30 GT scores. And I'm documenting what they're doing and jumping out of airplanes just to catalog the life and insanity of a grunt in infantry. And that was my first enlistment.
So the whole time, so 4 years then?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, boy, got out to be, because you're like, hey, I didn't get my flip-flops.
No, anyway, I got out and I built my radio career with what little radio experience I'd garnered. I found a way and I built my radio career up and have a wild journey of working in Christian rock radio,
nice.
Country radio, working and producing a talk show for National Public Radio in Baltimore, and a big shout out to Mark Steiner, who was their flagship award-winning host at the time. I produced his show. I worked in Wilmington, Delaware as a business reporter for WILM News Radio. And then I did freelance television news work outside of Baltimore in Ellicott City.
Nice. But real quickly, just to understand the timeline, so you got out around, what, 98 then?
I got out in, I originally enlisted in 92 on the delayed entry program. So I got out in December of 96.
So basically from 96 to 2001, you were bouncing around all over the freaking place.
I was all the way up and down the East
Coast.
Like a vagabond. From Florida up to Maryland and Delaware.
Doing the vagabond thing.
Yeah, it is. Doing whatever I could to stay in this weird broadcasting business.
Wow, that's some crazy shit, and just hold on because there's more in store as you come back and do it a second time around, so hang on to your seats there, listeners, as we get ready to hear part two.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com, get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy, wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/beerarmy and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/beerarmy. Beer Army.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy.
Beer Army engaged.
So welcome back, listeners. We just jumped into the mind of Mick.
Yeah, it's scary.
In the first half of the call to join the America's greatest fighting force, the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
And but that wasn't enough. Wasn't enough, and you didn't get enough dosage of MREs the first time around, so you're like,
I guess I didn't.
Sign me up, part two. So how'd you come back in?
Well, September 11th, man. Yeah, when that happened, I was working that talk show in Baltimore, and when that happened, it was just like, no, I've got to go back in. The first time I went in to be a lazy DJ, this time I was like, no, I'm going in to kick ass.
Yeah, so no fucking around.
No. I went back in with my whole goal of trying out for special forces and doing that thing and doing that route because I'd spent that time with them on
with the PSYOPs
my first
that.
Enlistment. Yeah. So I get back in and I got held up due to a head injury that wasn't an issue. My first enlistment, head injury from when I was a kid.
But when you were coming in, you were like guaranteed a slot.
Yeah,
and it's because of this bullshit.
Yeah,
you get basically juiced.
You're right.
Out of
you're right. I had done my homework. I had called the Pentagon and called the branch manager of all broadcasters. And I was like, look, I'm still working in this business. I don't need to go back through any training.
Right. It's an easy day.
Is there a slot in PSYOP, psychological operations.
Not to mention the recruiter that you must have went to. He was like, oh, this is a wet dream. This is a wet dream. Dude's delivering it.
Yeah,
give me a quota.
I walked in there with a paragraph and line number for the slot, which they had at my old unit. And everything was great and gravy. And then I get to MEPS, take the physical, and then they're like, "Whoa, you had a head injury when you were 12 years old." And it wasn't a problem my first enlistment, and I ended up jumping out of airplanes and doing a bunch of crazy crap. But all of a sudden it was. They held me up 2 months. The unit deployed to Afghanistan. I didn't get to go to that unit, and
You must have been just so pissed off.
I was mad
because
as hell.
Because you're coming in, you know, you're feeling very patriotic, obviously. Yeah. I mean, September 11th, everybody, you know, and you're ready to chomp at the bit. Chomping at the bit, and you just get screwed,
yeah.
You know? And it's your second go-around. Usually you get screwed the first time, and you know, and here you are trying to come back and do the right thing.
It was so maddening because, you know, I get to that neurologist for this appointment. I'm not even there 2 minutes, and he's asking me these questions, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing here? You don't need to be here."
Oh, man.
So
total waste.
So it was a total waste. Yeah.
So don't please tell me that you don't get sent back to Fort Lost in the Woods, you know? Tell me that's not what
happened. No, Fort Leonard Wood was just for basic training. I didn't get back to Fort Bragg because of that hiccup with a neurologist. And then my choices were Fort Knox or Fort Huachuca, Arizona. And so I was like, well, Huachuca looks like a better option. So let me call this public affairs shop down there because it's the only thing there is an intelligence center and school. So it's obviously a garrison unit. So I call this PAO and ask if they're looking for a broadcaster. And this lieutenant colonel, she said, yeah, we're looking for a broadcaster. I was like, well, I have the opportunity to choose that. I'm coming back in and this is what I can do. And as far as a broadcaster, what are your plans? And she said, told me her plans for what she wanted to achieve. And
nice. So
I was like, I was being a businessman, kind of make it worth my while. I was like, well, sell me on it.
Yeah.
But you have to know my goals are to go back in to go Special Forces. And she was all on board. Oh, that's great. You know,
awesome.
Blah, blah, blah. And I get there. And this was October.
Uh-oh.
Mid, late October of 2001.
The thing you just did with your eyes, like already I can tell like, uh-oh. This is like, I can tell already, uh-oh.
Yeah, the nightmare began. I talked to her, and I reminded her, look, I'm going Special Forces, and oh, that's great, and I do everything I can. I bust my hump. I work my ass off for that public affairs shop, doing whatever I could. And the whole time, although I was talking with a Special Forces recruiter, and I had a slot for February, and then when it became a reality to her that I was leaving in February...
Which you guys
all
agreed
of a sudden,
on.
Yeah, we agreed on. All of a sudden, I was told I can't go.
Oh.
It's too soon. You're not ready. And had my NCO go to this Special Forces recruiter and say he's not ready. And anyway, he was the coolest thing about this was this Special Forces recruiter was getting pissed off with these people trying to keep me from going in when the needs of the Army were we need SF troops.
Right.
Well, I'm on the phone call, and this is what he says, and if there's any children listening, cover your ears.
Oh.
But he tells me...
Earmuffs.
He's referring to this lieutenant colonel. He's like, that bitch is going to have to suck someone's dick at the Pentagon to cancel these orders.
Oh, jeez.
Right? So anyway, I end up going. I go in February. It's a 24-day selection course. I got injured in the first week, and...
Oh, man. So you get in... So you actually leave. So you actually get into the training.
Oh, yeah, I'm there. I'm in the thick of it. I went through hell. It was 24 days of hell.
And you get beat up.
I screwed up my foot that first week, and I had to push myself through the rest of the course. Longer distance, harder weight, just your body. I've never been through anything like that. But I wasn't selected. I was told, we like what we see, but we want to see you do it again. And my injury, I never could.
So you got injured, but you're able in the first week, so the first 7 days, and then you still push through the next 18 or so days injured.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's ballsy, man.
With
you
an
really
inflamed tendon in the arch of my foot, and carrying over 100 pounds
on my
back.
And this isn't Cub Scout crap we're talking about.
No.
You know, for people who've never been around that, this isn't, you know, this is like some, you know, major, you know, hate and discontent on the body, on the mind.
Well, all I can say is I had an inflamed tendon in the arch of my foot. Every step I took felt like I was stepping on the blade of a knife. And our last evaluation was a 60K individual assessment, land nav, and I left with 100 pounds on my back, and I came back with 110.
Jeez.
And it was, we had 48 hours to do it all by ourselves, just giving grid coordinates and covering 3+ clicks in a...
So the fact that they said, hey, we want to see you back, they're saying, hey, look.
They liked it. Yeah. They said, your non-combat arms, we want to see you do it again.
Oh,
because
that's right,
I went
too.
Back in as a broadcaster.
But I'm assuming, though, did they know that you were hurt, though?
Oh, they knew I was hurt.
So
I went from running a sub-6-minute mile to a 10 to 11-minute mile.
Yeah, so
I'm a gimp.
So that's the reason why you had a credibility in their eyes, because you're toughing it out. So let me guess. You probably go back to your old shop.
I go back to this shop. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you she's like probably thinking like, oh, see, serves you right, or probably being all vindictive now, because I bet.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah. She was. I was injured, and you go through a school like that, and I know you've been through schools like that. You get through them, and then when your body all of a sudden isn't asked to do that anymore, it shuts down. You just automatically are just over fatigued. You get sick. You get a cold. You know, it's just when your body's just pushed to those limits, unless you keep that, unless you keep it going and keep pushing yourself, the minute you give your body a break, it just shuts down. And I shut down. I was sick. You know, that whole flight back from Fort Bragg back to Arizona, and then I get to the airport, and then I sleep on it, and then I wake up the next morning, and I have a cold, and I'm just fatigued and drained, and I get a knock at my door at the barracks. I have to be, for some exercise, I didn't even know what was going on. I had to be on top of this mountain in the Huachuca Mountains of Arizona, and I'm up there in the cold wind in February, sick off my ass, doing nothing. Yeah. And it was just her pretty much just flipping me the bird.
Oh, really? So she was like, you think she was calling you out, or was it really an exercise?
There was an exercise, but I didn't need to be a part of it. There were other people up there.
So part of
literally did nothing. So just sat up there, out there in the cold, in the open, with, you know, just.
So a harassment package, basically.
I was just like, screw it. This isn't, I've been through worse, but I was just like, whatever.
So do you ever get a chance to take the second shot, or?
I tried training back up, and every time I did, I kept screwing my foot up.
Yeah.
But I was on crutches for 2.5 months.
Wow.
I got the doc to release me to start training back up, and I was halfway through getting back into shape, and I screwed my foot up again.
But did she like say, well, screw it, I honored my deal because I gave you your shot?
No.
And,
no.
I mean, because I'm thinking, you know, in her eyes, she's probably thinking, the reason why she was hesitant to let you go originally is because all of a sudden you're probably doing great things.
I was. I built a whole television studio.
So she's like, oh, hell no. I'm not letting my golden boy go, you know. And so that's the reason why she's probably balking.
It probably was.
But now that she's got you back, I mean, you think that there'd be some love a little bit.
No, there was none.
So did you do the rest of your time there?
No, I was there. Like I said, I built that television studio. We got General Marks, who he's now on television as an analyst, General Spider Marks.
Oh.
He's a cool dude. I got him on television, created a television show for him, and it just was an awesome, awesome thing. Great guy.
Yeah.
But then she was just big on kissing his ass.
Yeah.
And she ordered me to do a project to make herself look good in his eyes that was against regulations, and I said no. And backed it up with documentation, all this stuff. And that was just, I had no support. I had no support from my leadership. She demanded it. I just told her it wasn't development. And I got counseled multiple times for insubordination, all this stuff. It was 2 months of hell. And ended up, everything that I said for justification for not doing it was repeated back to me as if it was just matter of fact and of reality to them. And it never was.
Right.
And I about lost it. I lost my mind. I cussed out my NCO leadership. And I was just at my wit's end. And literally, that was about 2 months. If that would have continued, I probably would have been booted out of the military.
Well, I mean, when you tell your superiors to go basically fuck themselves, I'm sure that
I did. I mean, it's no joke. I did.
Sure that went over really well.
I told a sergeant first class, because I did everything he should have been doing as a leader.
Right.
And he ended up coming back to me saying, see what happens when stuff just works itself out.
Well, that's because she came back then.
Oh, man.
And you were doing all these memorandum for the records and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I put it in official documentation. Right. That's what pissed her
off. But off the air, you told me that she ended up coming back and then basically said, hey, we're going to do exactly what you told her that we needed to do.
Everything that I did and documented for justification, in which I was counseled as being insubordinate and failing to follow direct order, and everything I gave for justification as for doing what I did was repeated back to me as if it had never been discussed before.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was maddening. I felt like I was in an insane asylum.
It's like Twilight Zone.
So anyway, I had buddies, and I had a first sergeant that knew this was a horrible environment for me. I had another buddy that tried out for Special Forces, made it through part of the Q course. He got injured as well. But he was just a great guy, and they took it upon themselves to get me out of that unit. They pulled their own strings. And next thing I know, I had friends outside of my own even realizing what was happening. they got me out of that unit and I ended up in the Fort Huachuca Select Honor Guard, and I had the awesome honor of it was traumatic, but it was an honor to bury soldiers killed in Iraq from southeastern
doing the
southwestern
burial, so
United
doing the burial
States.
Detail stuff.
Oh yeah, all
wow.
over.
Wow.
From I was out in San Diego burying soldiers all into Arizona. And
so did you finish up your time doing that, or?
I did a year in Egypt. I left there and did a year in Egypt doing a morning show for
no shit.
English-speaking contingents of the multinational force. And
was
observers.
It like,
so,
good morning, Egypt?
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Called me the Adrian Cronauer of the Sinai. Shut it was up. Crazy, yeah.
Nice.
No, but I hung out with a bunch of Australians and did a morning show called The Sandman in the Morning. And it was just awesome, but I drank way too much. the gig was, I wore an Army uniform, but essentially I worked for the State Department.
Well, hanging out with Australians, I think it has a tendency to do that somehow. Those guys are pretty serious about their drinking. I mean, they seem like no joke.
Well, to tell you how serious I was about drinking with Australians, I got to a point where I was drinking 21 whiskey and Cokes a night.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't a night, but on a weekend, Friday night, I would at least do 20. And then I'd back it up the next night with at least 18. But I'll be honest, that's no joke. I left, when I came back after that year over there, my liver hurt.
I bet.
Yeah, but I made great friends.
And you went back to Arizona from Egypt?
No, I was lucky. By doing that Egypt stint, I was able to get back to psychological operations, the first unit I...
Where you were originally trying to get to begin with.
Exactly.
Ah.
It took 3 years to get there, but I finally got there.
Nice.
And I felt like I was home.
Yeah.
I was back in that special operations side. I was working in small teams and I didn't have all the BS. It was, you did your job, you did it well. That's all that was asked.
And how much time were you able to spend the last,
2 years.
So you got 2 years out of that, 5 year stint on the second half, on the back side?
Almost 2 years, yeah. Because I got there in October of 2004. And then I got out in June of 2006.
And then you got out and just stayed local?
Yeah. I led a 12-man team to Iraq from that PSYOP unit. With that PSYOP unit, I led a team, and I made some great Marine friends over there. And just as well as I do, when you're in these austere, horrible situations, you forge friendships you never would have forged with a power that's just amazing. So I wasn't ready to leave them. So when I got out, I just stayed. I stayed out here and found a radio gig.
Gig.
Getting paid to be a knucklehead.
So. Well, that's awesome, man. Yeah, no. Well, thanks for sharing all
weird
that.
Weird journey, man.
Yeah, it's always weird how things kind of work themselves out. I mean, you had obviously some speed bumps there. And, but yeah, you just get through it or whatever. And I think the adage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It's the brotherhood and the epitome and the highlights of that all through that career and that are why I truly enjoy being part of Beer Army. And I appreciate you listening to it, man.
Yeah, no, that Egypt thing, we'll have to dive into that some more at some point, because I guarantee there's some interesting stories there.
You don't even want to know. You don't want to know. That's me.
Awesome.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Why hasn't a hipster invented skinny overalls?
Are you kidding me? Just stick your head under the water and breathe.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Beer Army Engaged. You can find us in a number of places here. We're online. If you want to email us, just email radio@beerarmy.org. You can hit us up on Facebook at Beer Army Foundation. Twitter, you Twitter people. How about at Beer Army FDTN? And there's other avenues as well. If you hit up beerarmy.org, you can get your links to everything there. And we have an awesome part of the program we're bringing to you. In this crazy thing we call life, it's amazing. We need stuff that puts a smile on our face.
Well, you got
to
laugh.
Yeah, you have to laugh.
Because it'll drive you mad. It's like
Can't let Murphy get you.
That's right. The way you get him back is you laugh. Laugh and spit in his face at the same time, if that's possible.
So with that being said, in a world as screwed up as this, let's yick 'em to Sue.
I remember you brought, we were talking about the Duffel Blog. And for those who are not familiar with the Duffel Blog, there's a site called The Onion. And the Duffel Blog is very similar, but it has a military flair to it. And, you know, leave it to a Marine, you know, to take something to the next level. I mean, I think the Marine Corps can make itself very proud and know that this guy, his name is Sergeant Paul, and I'm sure I'm going to slaughter
He's active duty?
No, well, he's out. I mean, but, you know, I hate
started him. At active duty.
Yeah, yeah. But Zoldra. Zoldra.
What a cool name.
Yeah, Marine Sergeant Paul Zoldra. And I'd love to get him on at some point.
Z-Man.
At the... a future, you know, future show or whatever, but
we'll reach out to Z-Man.
He started this satire website called the Duffel Blog, and so for those that are in the military, the thing I love about this website is that he has contributors from all branches. So, you know, if you're an Army guy, you click on the Army tab, and anyways...
No branch is safe.
Right. So, again, and if you're just in the defense industry or whatever, he has, like, federal government and just in general, too. But, you know, again...
People need an example here, Destin, because otherwise we just think we're throwing, hey, it's military news.
Yeah, no. Well, it's satire.
It is.
You know, i.e. definition...
But the genius is in
satire,
the details.
Satire, it is not real. But what's crazy is that some of his articles have actually gotten picked up by mainstream... media.
Give me a headline.
You know, so you know, I wanted to pick my favorite out of everything he had, and the freaking the headline goes. Hold on, let me find this damn thing. Where the hell did I do with it? Oh, here it is.
I'm staring at headline now. I can't wait to share.
No. So you ready for this?
Oh, yes,
so,
yes.
So this is my favorite off his website. And I know you got a favorite one too, but and I think the pictures are what crack me up the most. But he has. Pentagon scraps lightsaber weapons program after gross misconduct, numerous injuries. And the picture is these guys wearing Army PT gear and BDUs or camis with lightsabers walking down an Iraqi like alley type thing, and it cracks me up. And
but doesn't the lightsaber negate the reflective belt?
Yeah, well, <that's
laughs> it's like, I don't need a PT belt. I got a lightsaber.
So the thing it cracks me up, you know. But I just want to give like you know some outtakes basically.
Let's hear it.
You know, and it goes just like a professional news release that says Bagram, Afghanistan, a top secret weapons development program has been scrapped after countless allegations of misconduct and numerous injuries were sustained by soldiers and Marines in Afghanistan, the Duffel Blog has learned. Dubbed the lightsaber weapon nomenclature MR2-D2 was a near perfect imitation of those carried by the Jedi Knights. And it goes in here later on talking of that, you know, quoted by a Pentagon spokesman, apparently when you give soldiers weapons they've dreamed about their entire lives, their intelligence drops to the level of a retarded monkey, you know?
It does.
But they talk about like, you know, like these Marines, one had his confiscated for sketching sexually explicit images on the side of concrete bunkers. Two Marines were arrested for poking lightsaber peepholes in the female showers, you know. And you know, they said that the test program, which was supposed to last 3 months, was pulled less than 36 hours later. The final nail in the coffin came when Private Derek Jones asked a seemingly innocent question. Dude, said Jones, do you think I could block a bullet?
Nice.
Oh man, I mean he's doing great stuff. I mean, especially when you're deployed, you know, and
oh,
I know
you can
appreciate this
and
you have that dark humor to have something, and I love his play on words. Like he actually uses certain military genre jargon, acronyms and stuff that are real and then kind of does some mashup, and I swear to God you could believe this shit, you know? I mean, you really could.
Well, it's hilarious if you go on their Facebook page. If you ever see an article of theirs shared on Facebook and you're wondering what it is, yeah. It's hilarious, the comments. People don't realize it's not
fake. Yeah.
Real.
Right.
And they'll comment on it as if it's real, and you can tell them it's fake,
yeah.
And they still don't get it.
Well, I mean, in one case, there was a congressman that got duped and was bitching about saying that
being insensitive.
And then when it brought to his light that, hey, dumbass, you know, and then he's like, well, it's basically poor taste, you know,
whatever.
And the thing I would have liked to ask that congressman, like, yeah, how much time have you served? You know, can you even relate, you know, you jackass? But
Oh, it's genius.
But
it's,
I, But I know you got a good one too, because you have a favorite from the Duffel blog. And so what do you got over there?
Well, it's only fitting. This story comes from Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Which is a real base.
Which is a hellhole. I've been there. Don't go there in August.
So what's the headline?
The headline simply reads, "Loud vibrators are causing soldier to lose sleep."
Jesus.
And I love their choice of referencing an explosive ordnance team leader. Tina Lang. Staff Sergeant Tina Lang. Taking part in a pre-deployment mass war game training at the Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk. Needs her sleep. But according to Lang, it's impossible to sleep over the racket of multiple vibrators in her sleeping quarters.
Jesus. In her sleeping quarters, man.
It's been this way since the sergeant major made me move in here. I was doing fine in the same building as my company, but he said it was inappropriate to sleep in the same building as males. That's bullshit. They're like my brothers. Nobody's doing anything inappropriate in there.
Nice. Oh, my God. Vibrators. Oh, my God.
Oh, whoa.
That's crazy.
I tell you what, women, woo, you put women in austere training or combat situation. Guys, too, but women can get primal.
Oh, they can get very possessive.
Primal, possessive, yeah. And yeah. I guess they'll vibrate themselves.
Awesome. Yeah, so we definitely want to give a shout out to Paul for creating such a kick-ass site. I know that...
And all the contributors, too. I mean, these writers are awesome. I know Paul's not writing all of them.
Well, yeah, no, he started off, and then that's, you know, for like, for this one that I read, this lightsaber program, the freaking author, he just goes by the name of Merrick, and I loved their little bio on the author, and it says, you know, Merrick served as an army infantryman in Iraq. He's a surfer from Southern California, which means he's cooler than you and could probably nail your girlfriend. Reach out to him, and plugs his email. So
yeah, the writer on this story is a Dick Scuttlebutt, a jaded PTSD afflicted Army EOD officer. His name is a killing word. You can send hate mail to his email address.
I love it. We might have to reach out to these guys.
No, we should. That'd be great to have them on.
That's awesome, because they really obviously have a good sense of humor. They obviously get it.
Yeah.
You know, and you need that. You really need that, especially when we were talking about, you know, your part two to you coming in the Marine Corps, when you're, you know, in Fort Huachuca, when you're dealing with that kind of, I guess, hate and discontent, you know, to have something like this where you can read and just laugh, even if it's only for like 2 or 3 minutes, that helps start your day. I don't know, maybe with a shitting and grin on your face, you know, and then, you know, oh, my God, I wish.
It's a genius. And there's no branch is spared. Yeah. Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army.
Yeah.
There's something in there that you will feel like, how do they get in on the inside joke?
I just wish I would have discovered this site a lot. Like a lot sooner than now, when I'm literally getting out, because it would have been awesome. But yeah, the duffelblog.com, as in duffel bag, and then of course blog, as in blog.com. Check them out. Lots of good stuff on there. I mean, I go to the site now, I can literally burn an hour, you know, just reading some of the stuff, and I'm laughing, you know, and I got the missus like, what the hell are you laughing about? I'm like, you got to listen to this one, you know, and oh, you got to listen to this one. It's just, it's crazy.
They're a riot, and they're worth following on Facebook, too.
Awesome.
They team it up really well there, but we'll make sure all those links are available to you.
Yeah, we'll have them on the website underneath our notes section, underneath the podcast. So, yeah, you can check out everything that we talk about that we're referencing. And yeah, check it out, man. Duffelblog.com. Check out Paul and company and what they're doing. That's a great thing. Great thing.
Yeah, reach out to them and reach out to us. If you want to send us hate mail,
yeah,
hate do mail. It. Send it to radio@beerarmy.org and follow us in all the ways possible on Facebook at Beer Army Foundation. Twitter, you can find us at Beer Army FDTN. For you YouTubers, if you want to see the fun we're having on YouTube, hit up Beer Army Productions and you'll be good to go. And as well on the website, other stuff too.
BeerArmy.org.
Yeah, BeerArmy.org is the website. That's good to remember that.
BeerArmy.org. And if you're like Mick, where the social icon, you know, that just go to BeerArmy.org and we have the social icons right there. Make it foolproof. Make it Mick-proof. And just click on there and take it.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
I'm just trying to help.
No, you're good. You're good. You spelled it out. All you had to say was hit up the pretty pictures on the website.
Sorry, man. You're taking it so personal.
Click on the pretty pictures.
Relax.
Just make sure it's not a vibrator.
That's right.
We'll be in for a shock. Have a good one, everybody.
Beer Army Radio.